Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbole.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 160 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively right here on the working-class-supported Head-On Radio Network, also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch at CRMW.net. Stop by Coal River Mountain Watch at CRMW.net. and see for yourself what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day, today being Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wednesday, July 2nd, it's a live show and you're welcome to phone in and participate. We'll talk about what's on your mind. I'll be giving the contact information in just a moment. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And it is there that you're going to find links to all of the guests and to the audio archives from past shows, as well as links to the chat room, which is active, and I'm there keeping an eye on things. There are also links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You'll find there also a link to the Head On Radio Network main site, and it is at the main site you can find out all about the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. And you'll find the PayPal buttons there also to make it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, Head On. That translates into 877-443-2366. Unlimited long distance, you can use 304-658-3333. So that's a toll-free and a toll line, 877-443-2366. Or to West Virginia, 304-658-3333. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to keep an eye on the emails during the breaks. I've missed you guys. I seriously have. This round of internet problems actually started at 5:30 in the afternoon last Friday. I don't know if you'll remember, but the beginning of Friday's show was a little bit tentative. I could hear the studio okay, but I wasn't quite sure if they could hear me. What happened at 5:30, I do not know, but the internet speeds tanked, and they were all over the map. You would think, well, maybe it got better by Saturday, but oh no, not only were the internet speeds all over the map, Saturday morning, suddenly everyone in this area lost dial tone. Yes, the entire area. So there was no raggedy internet or dial tone. I had to drive almost 15 miles to find a payphone that worked Saturday afternoon because there were phone calls I needed to make that I could not make from anywhere in this little neck of the woods. Dial tones came back on around 7 p.m. Saturday evening, but the internet was still all over the map, long periods of dead silence without a packet peering out little head onto my screen, and then there'd be a big burst of data. Then it makes for very bad radio when suddenly you can hear and suddenly you can't hear. In any case, Sunday was the same scenario. Monday morning, we got the tech people on the phone, and in fact, The Embark people, which I refer to as the most horrible phone company in the entire planet, and often threaten to climb up on the church steeple and shoot at Embark trucks as they drive by, just teasing Homeland Security. I would never threaten a common carrier. But nonetheless, it does... oh, Lord, the problems we've been through. I got to tell you. In any case, they say they're going to replace the D-SLAM and some kind of card was bad and they're going to reload the D-SLAM and blah, 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 blah. So who knows? All I know is that today the Internet is significantly better. It's still not top speed, but the speed that it is reaching is, although not at the top, it's sufficient and it's stable to do a radio show. So I'm glad to be back with you this evening. And I must tell you, the guest tomorrow evening, even if the Internet is completely down, I'll phone in that show on a regular, because the guest tomorrow evening is not to be missed. Our executive director of talent and booking, Mr. Glenn Rivera, has outdone himself. Tomorrow evening, we have music industry legend Henry Stone. He is Henry Stone of TK Records. He recorded KC and the Sunshine Band, Anita Ward, Gwen McCrae, Peter Brown, the T Connection, James Brown, Sam and Dave, the list goes on and on and on. And what an interesting guest he will be. I think we'll hear far more than Grace Jones stories tomorrow evening, and I'm really looking forward to that. Our friend Glenn is setting us up with some audio clips from various artists that have recorded on the label, and I should have those by tomorrow afternoon at some point. And what else was I going to tell you? Pish-posh. It'll come back to me. It always does. Even if it's the next day, eventually, I do remember. Where to begin? There's so many darts, and no matter which direction you throw one, it hits a Republican somewhere who's screwing up the world. I want to go back a few days to Senator Roger Wicker. Now, this is an action alert from the American Family Association. The American Family Association is indicating, and this is one of three, no less than three separate Republican bills have been introduced to protect marriage, a constitutional amendment to protect marriage. They are signed by different members of the low-life crowd that we call Republican. One of them is... Marilyn Musgrave, which one of our chatters referred to as the Wicked Witch of the West, well said. In any case, the American Family Association is touting this particular one by Senator Roger Wicker, and it's the Marriage Protection Amendment. This came out a few days ago. The huge print at the American Family Association says that this constitutional amendment would keep liberal activist judges from forcing homosexual marriages on every American. Now imagine that. You, in the safety of your own home, with your wife or with your husband, however it may be, suddenly forced by the homosexual activists to marry someone of the same gender. Imagine that. They go on to say that the Marriage Amendment simply says that marriage in the United States shall consist of the union of one man and one woman. They also remind us that liberal activist judges in Massachusetts and California, by 4-3 margins in both cases, have already forced homosexual marriages on their citizens. Yes, in fact, we are stripping husbands and wives of their relationships, and we're taking over their homes, and we're putting in someone of the same gender. We're just taking over. There's nothing in the law that would keep the judges from legalizing marriage between three men. I don't know, one's enough to keep up with. Or two men, or four women, or any other combination. I assume they're referring to cats and dogs and all the variations there. But one of the amendments I must tell you about, this blew me away. If you could imagine the hypocrisy, Republican, thy name is hypocrisy. Two United States senators have introduced and co-sponsored a marriage protection amendment. This is one of three separate amendments. But this one is especially spectacular. This one is introduced by Larry Wide Stance Craig, who was arrested on June the 11th for attempting to coax a undercover officer to put his penis under a bathroom stall so that Larry Craig could slobber on it. I see no reason why I shouldn't be specific here. Now, to add even more hysteria to Senator Larry Craig, I'm not gay, Larry Craig, introducing a marriage protection amendment as he slipped around on his wife to see men in restrooms. This is being introduced along with Senator David Vitter. Yes, the David Vitter, who is a client of the prostitution firm in Washington, D.C. She was called the D.C. Madam, and there was much talk of diapers and playpens, although I never did completely understand that story. Nonetheless, there was much talk of some pretty twisty little things going on. Now, of course, with a Democratic-controlled Congress, it's unlikely the bill is going to be brought up for vote. In fact, any of the three bills that are currently pushed by the Republicans, it's unlikely that any of the three will be brought up. But it's already happening. The Republicans are desperately grasping at straws, and this will be one of the horses that they're going to try to run again in this race. And considering how homophobic part of the population is, that will definitely whip them into a frenzy. So not only do we have the repeal of marriage in California bill up in November, and Arizona will have a bill up in November. If I'm not mistaken, that's still up. And Florida, of course, will have a constitutional amendment bill in November. Between those three states and, of course, three, no less than three, count them, one, two, three, separate marriage amendments that are being floated by United States senators, it should be an interesting summer. The article reads, marriage in the United States shall consist only of a man and a woman, and goes on to say that neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state shall be construed to require that marriage or the legal incidents thereof, meaning who gets to inherit the house, who gets the Social Security, who gets custody of the kids, you know, those legal incidents, minor things. None of those minor things thereof may be conferred upon any union other than the union of a man and a woman. You know, the American Family Association is a frightening organization. By simply sending out an email, these emails that are blatantly loaded with send money forward to everyone you know over and over and over again. I'm going to touch bases briefly on the Heinz mayonnaise commercial. John and myself and Bob Kincaid talked about this. In fact, Bob had the audio that we ran about a week or so ago for it, in the United Kingdom. If you didn't hear it, the Heinz sells mayonnaise rather than, they sell a lot of mayonnaise there. Here they sell a lot of ketchup. But in any case, it was a commercial, and it had two men kissing, and the commercial was never broadcast in the United States. This was a family getting up sort of scenario. The little boy's there, and one dad is behind the kitchen counter making him a sandwich with the deli mayo from Heinz, and the other fellow is getting ready to walk out the door, and he's going to work. He's in his suit, and then they kiss each other goodbye. You know, no big deal, except it was a huge deal to them. The American Family Association, by sending out an email to its United States members, 3.5 million members, flooded the Heinz United States headquarters complaining about the deli mayo ad, which again was only broadcast in the United Kingdom. The American Family Association, of course, stands for traditional family values, and they are dead set against the influence of television and other media. The Action Alert was denounced the Heinz Mayo commercial and had a link to the video so that you could see the homosexuals. And they also said it's the kind of ad we can expect to see in California as they prepare to vote on homosexual marriage. I thought you might be interested in seeing the Heinz ad, said Donald Wildman, featuring a homosexual family and two homosexuals kissing. The thing that strikes me about this, had it been a stereotypical couple of gay guys, you know, both of them, you know, wearing hair curlers, just getting up in the morning, both of them extremely effeminate and prancing around in the kitchen, and they kiss, the American Family Association would probably not blink an eye because it met their stereotypes. It met their definitions. But by having two masculine men who love each other and are trying to get one off to work and lunch packed for the little boy, it was unclear as to whose kid the little boy was or who's adopted. That's irrelevant. And I think that the fact that they were a masculine couple had a lot to do with the extreme reaction that the American Family Association reacted with. I may be wrong about that. They say in the letter, we suggest you forward it to your friends and family. Let them know of the push for homosexuality by Heinz. We're here, we're queer, we like mayonnaise. Get over it. Heinz running in England, and American Family Association alert says, and no doubt it can be expected in the United States very soon. Now, it was sent out on June 24th. There were the phone numbers for Heinz headquarters, and the Cindy Roberts, director of media and public affairs for the Family Association, said that after the alert was sent out, Heinz U.S. called to let the organization know the ad would not run again. As you well know, the American Family Association is expert at organizing this sort of complaint, this sort of rally against companies. Let's see, Ford Motors was one of their recent victims. Wasn't it Disney World and another? And the Heinz people said that their phone systems were and email systems were bogged down from the response from the Heinz, the Heinz people being put onto that, the American Family Association members talking to the Heinz company. Heinz says they apologize for the misplaced attempt at humor, and we accept that this ad was not in accordance with our longstanding blah, blah, blah corporate policy of respecting everyone's rights and values. Son of a bitch. I'm sorry. I just... It angered me. In fact, I've been thinking about this most of the day. It angers me that the American Family Association can send out a single email to 3.5 million people, and these people actually respond in such huge numbers that they're able to convince a corporation the size of Heinz to stop running an advertisement in the United Kingdom, which had never even run here, by a bunch of backwoods haters. It's all I can say. Haters. 3.5 million. Imagine that. Do you think that this network, the Head On Radio Network, or do you think that Nova, or do you think that Air America, if they still exist, God knows I can't keep up with that. Do you think if all three of the radio networks and the other many individual LGBT shows and progressive other types of shows that stream on the Internet, if you think that all of them, combined with all of the blogs, the HRCs, the op-ed news, all of the blogs, do you think for a moment we could rouse 3.5 million people to do a damn thing? Apathy is starting to piss me off, people. The people who listen to this program and listen to the Head On Radio Network are some of the most informed, wonderful, smartest people on the planet. But my friends, talent on loan from a disco, my friends, we're apathetic. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the... Let me give you an example. This is a particular... I'm pulling this information from an article written by Steve Charing. He's talking about Baltimore. He's talking about Baltimore, Maryland, and he's talking about a pride event primarily. On a given night, hundreds would cram the city streets, some carrying gay periodicals, and they patronized the dozens of gay bars and cafes and nightclubs, pornography shops, cabarets, and bathhouses. And you add to the crowd an ample supply of hustlers that was visible along the dim nighttime corridors. And inside the buildings, female impersonators who were decked out in their best regalia, lavish, brightly covered, boas, the whole bit, performing amidst a foggy, smoky cloud that enveloped the jammed rooms. They were toe-tapping songs played to the resounding joy of the gay and straight audience that packed the nightclubs and cabarets, and the music drifted outside into the streets. In other establishments, men freely danced with men, women danced with women. They openly embraced, and anti-gay laws in the books were seldom in force. Gay life was colorful, it was free, it was vibrant, and gay neighborhoods were established throughout the city, not just one single area, throughout the city. It had become the most active gay culture on the entire continent, and indeed it was a sexual mecca. New York? San Francisco? Fort Lauderdale? Well, no. Happens to be Berlin. Berlin, Germany, just prior to the Nazis' rise to power. Indeed, it is estimated that there were more gay establishments and gay periodicals in 1920 Berlin than in New York City in the 80s. Not only was homosexuality tolerated, it flourished. Now, the apathetic in their own world, clubgoers, were completely unaware of the political and social changes that were about to rock their world. I'm paraphrasing here. The customers, and in fact the owners of these establishments, completely oblivious to the new political reality. They continued to dance and seek out sex partners and live their lives in their own secluded, carefree world, completely unsuspecting of the emerging, and the writer uses the word satanic, and you know me, I couldn't agree with him more, satanic forces and horror was about to befall them. When they realized what was happening, it was too late. It was as fast as lightning. There, bang, you have it. Nazism, Hitler, the paragraph 175 was enforced, severely criminalized homosexual hate behavior. All gay clubs, hotels, other establishments were closed down. Known homosexuals were ordered to appear at police stations. They were pressured to identify other homosexuals. School children were asked to inform on teachers who were suspected of being homosexual, employers on employees, employees on employers, and on and on and on. The road, the journey had begun. It could not be turned back. Gay men in Germany were sought out and rounded up, and most were shipped to concentration camps for imprisonment and extermination. They were forced to wear the pink triangle for easy ID. They lived in separate blocks from the other prisoners, and the prisoners who wore the pink triangles were treated brutally, and I use that word not to diminish what others went through, but to tell you that the pink triangle prisoners were the lowest of the low. Their jobs were the worst. They were treated brutally by not only the guards, but by the inmates from the other categories who were not wearing the pink star. You see, back in those days, homosexuals who were supporting abortion, or anyone who supported abortion, homosexuals, they were seen by the government as a threat to the Nazi dream of world dominance. Make more blonde babies, I think is the way that phrase goes. It was about the lack of procreation as well as the lack of morality. And for gay men, it was about their lack of masculinity. By the way, lesbians didn't fare as badly because lesbians, according to the Nazis, could be easily reformed or fixed. I think that involved rape. If they couldn't be reformed for being lesbian, certainly they could be raped and they could bear children. You see, the lack of masculinity amongst the men did not fit the Aryan paradigm. Of course, the Jews, the gypsies, the criminals, the political enemies, the disabled, the epileptic, and all of the outcasts that didn't conform to the Third Reich's master perfect plan. Approximately 100,000 gay men were arrested, 50,000 sent to prison camps, hundreds castrated. By the way, did you know that gay men were castrated in the United States recently as the 1960s, if they appeared before a court in some states for any reason, if it was found that they were gay, they were castrated. It was common up in the 60s. In any case, an estimated 10,000 to 15,000 homosexuals were deemed incurable. Imagine that. That means they didn't present themselves in the role. They did not present themselves in the way that was expected. And they were exterminated in the death camps. The mortality rate for gay men was 3 to 4 times higher than any other non-Jewish category during the Holocaust. And what I'm getting at here, people, is apathy is a very perilous thing. And I'm up to here with it. I'm up to here with it. I gave some thought about that this morning. I'm in many ways just ashamed of the LGBT community. So many times the vast majority of the callers to this show, they're heterosexual. Not that that matters, but at least they participate. I know you guys are out there and you women are out there. I get your emails. What do your emails talk about? The music. Got no problem with that. I was a DJ in the clubs. I love the music. I have music guests on regularly. And when I do, there's great participation. Emails flood in. But as soon as the music goes away, you go rushing back to your bars and you just don't give a flying. I'm embarrassed by that behavior, quite frankly. This article goes on to say that as I said at the beginning, it was regarding Boston Pride. There was a disturbing number of people who were completely oblivious to politics and were very proud of it. A couple named Randy Wilding and his partner Josh. Now, they volunteered to steer people to the Equality Maryland table. Now, as you know, Equality, the state name, is some of the one of the largest organizations, Equality Florida, Equality Maryland. In any case, steer people to the Equality Maryland table. The Equality Maryland table was dispensing information about the organization, how to sign up, what the organization did. Equality Maryland being, of course, the state's leading gay civil rights advocacy organization. But what the couple noticed was absolutely stunning, they say. That's their words. It was stunning. We encountered people, including the vendors and the volunteers for other organizations, who said they weren't political. And they were quite proud of it. They wouldn't speak to us. Balding said, I was in a state of disbelief. What do these people think political means? What is it going to take to get these people motivated? What is it going to take to get these people involved? And even more shocking than that, they observed that a staggering amount of people at the Baltimore Pride didn't know what the Human Rights Campaign was. Or for that matter, they didn't even know the name of the damn governor of Maryland. I'm embarrassed. People. Now, the people who attended the Baltimore Prides, like the Prides in every city, represent a very wide and, I think, representative slice of the LGBT community. And there are all sorts of people there. They're sharing in the celebration. And proud of the fact they have no political interest. It was typical of the crowd. Certainly nothing to be proud of. Representative from Human Rights Campaign said that apathy is one of our greatest enemies. The nation's largest LGBT civil rights organization said that political issues are always personal. You need to find out the area and make the individuals most passionate and reach out to them and find out what the individual's interests are. Bullshit. I'm tired of breastfeeding these bastards, not that I have breasts, or bottle feeding. Wake the fuck up. We have an anti-gay government at federal and state level. We are already hijacked by the religious extremists, the homophobic extremists. Gay people and pro-choice people and lesbians are vilified by the extreme right day after day after day. I just read you the AFA over our freaking Heinz commercial. Day after day it goes on. Hate groups all over the country would like nothing better than to see you dead or remanded to a concentration camp and exterminated. In fact, if you'll recall, the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, there were many who thanked God for the plague to rid us of homosexuals. Not to mention that hate crimes directed toward LGBT individuals is on the rise. I'm sick of it, people. You know, and you folks that just email me about the music, you know, I know what the music is. I used to play it. I'm very fortunate to be able to talk to the people who make it. And you are welcome on this show. But for God's sakes, shit or get off the pot, people. I don't think I could possibly say it any better than that. So, for that, I think the bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, I'll be a much happier puppy. So this is Peter Godbull, Strictly Confidential. We'll be right back.
What do you want? When you want it. When you want it. KMBZ On Demand from the Voice of Kansas City News Radio.
Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman ever to serve on the High Court, has turned in her letter of resignation, bringing her career on the High Court to an end. Let's go to the White House.
Good morning. I've directed my staff to compile information and recommend for my review potential nominees who will faithfully interpret the Constitution and laws of our country.
And I believe as Christian citizens of this country that we should be actively involved in this historic moment. And if the church across this country, believers, can come together and take a stand, I think it's going to have a powerful, powerful impact on this process.
We dare not sleep through this point of decision because, frankly, future generations depend on us. Pray urgently that God's perfect will be done.
We are engaged today in what they call culture war. We didn't start it, but we, by His grace, are going to end it. And we should say, yes, we want to reclaim America for Christ.
Up in the pulpit, this mean-spirited message, us against them. And that's what the religious right is doing in the United States now. It is dividing this country. All right, we have Tyree in Hillside, Illinois, listens on WCPT. What do you have in your mind?
I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Somehow, these guys don't jive with the Christianity and what I've learned. I mean, there's an authoritarian kind of way about them, and there's nothing gentle, there's nothing compassionate. To me, there's nothing Christian about them.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's upside down. So there's some new brand of religion out there that somehow things have changed since Matthew wrote about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus told us to be peacemakers.
One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. But for today, I am a child. For today, I am a boy. For today,
The toll-free line is 877, the number 4 head-on. Translates into 877-443-2366. Trying my best to cop a different attitude. Unlimited long distance, use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And we're always glad to see you participate in any way you like. Also at strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll find a link to the chat room. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama previously said that the issue of gay marriage should be left up to each state, but he has announced his opposition to the California ballot measure that would ban same-sex marriages. I'm glad he spoke up. It was a letter written to the Alice B. Toklas LGBT Democratic Club. It was Sunday. It was read. The letter was read. The mail was read Sunday at the group's annual Pride Fest or Pride Breakfast in San Francisco. This past Sunday, by the way, was Pride in San Francisco. It was all about marriage, by the way. There was even a couple that got married in the parade. They were on a float. The ceremony was all on a float. And I saw some pictures. They were just fabulous. They were at wedding cake, you know, the hats were actually multi-tiered up to the sky, white wedding cakes with the, you know, the different dimensions of the multi-tiered. They were fabulous. And Mr. Barack Obama also said that he supports, in this letter that was read, he supports extending fully equal rights and benefits to same-sex couples under both state and federal law. And he said, and that is why I oppose this divisive and discriminatory effort to amend the California Constitution and similar efforts, remember we just talked about three, to amend the U.S. Constitution or the constitutions of other states, one of those three, introduced by Larry, by the Stance Craig himself. Obama had previously said he personally opposes same-sex marriage, but each state should make his own decision, their own decision. But instead of just being indifferent and taking a sort of a non-position on California, he's actively spoken out against it, which I think is a very good thing. The group said Senator Obama opposes all divisive and discriminatory constitutional amendments such as the one in California. On the other hand, McCain has officially endorsed the California marriage ban, much to the chagrin of the log closet Republicans. Huh? Oh, my stars. Mm. You know, it just never ceases to be. Why? You know, I just, and they claim over and over. They claim they said it more than three times, Bob. And I appreciated your story about the Bush administration saying something that they were terrorists three times, so it must be true. So they keep saying that they represent 25% of the LGBT vote, which I think is highly inflated, considering that some of their leadership is leaving in droves out of sheer embarrassment, no doubt. So John McCain's position on California in his recent announcement is he's switched from supporting the state's rights to define marriage as they see fit, which is what Obama said. He has switched his position to endorsing the effort to prohibit same-sex marriage by amending the state's constitution, according to a statement by the log closet Republicans. Now, protectmarriage.com is a group leading the change, or actually the charge, to constitutionally ban gay marriage in California. Similar organizations in Florida. I think I told you guys this story one time. I was in line to one of the big post offices in Tallahassee, and the guy in front of me was this little wispy, he had to be totally gay. Oh, dear Lord. Wearing a little totally gay suit and totally gay shoes and a totally gay... He had a little girl with him. Watch, I assume it was his own little girl. He was carrying her, and he put her down and held her hand. And the little girl was obviously his child. So this little wispy, stereotypical thing was carrying a large package. It was no doubt petitions that he had gotten signed in Tallahassee to marry gay marriage amendment in Florida, which will be coming up in November. He has a large box with the Protect Marriage, or whatever the name of the Florida organization is, their label in the upper left-hand corner of the box. And it was addressed to the parent organization in Central Florida somewhere. I don't remember the address. I was just so appalled. You know, oh, Jesus Christ. Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. Lord have mercy. You know, the men who are, and women for that matter, who are comfortable with their own orientation simply do not give a damn. It's always the little willow-wispy closet cases who are the ones who are upset, because it challenges their definition of who they are. He said, back to McCain, I know I wandered on the road sometimes, he says, I support the efforts of the people of California to recognize marriage as a unique institution between one man and one woman, just as we did in my home state of Arizona. I don't believe judges should be making these decisions. Now, that he changed the wording, this on his website, there was a statement that said, the right of the people of California to recognize marriage as a unique institution, in other words, he talks about the right of the people in California, that has changed, the wording has changed to, I support the efforts of the people in California. So, Christian Broadcasting Network, which has more money probably than we will ever see, wasted no time in... Did I ever tell you about their satellite? They have their own satellite, like HBO or Showtime. Or they have. It's called Angel. It's called Sky Angel, I believe it's called. You can go there and find it. They have, like, all big hair channels, 24 hours a day. You know, the Benny Hinn, the whole bit. So in any case, the Log Closet Republicans are saying that the campaign is neither confirmed nor denied that the senator had in fact changed his position from neutrality to active support. You recall the Log Cabin Republicans had a secret meeting with McCain recently until it was exposed, and then the representatives from his election team came storming out of the office saying, it was just a meeting, we don't have to report every meeting. So anyway, the Log Closet Republicans have now acknowledged that it's true, it's true, it's true. Late last week, the group pushing California's anti-marriage constitutional amendment released an email from a McCain staffer saying the senator backed the amendment. We now have confirmation that this, in fact, is the senator's view. You know, Log Closet's, his president is a Patrick Salmon, who I wouldn't want to be on his hot seat for all the money in the planet. He says... McCain's amendment is his support of the amendment is inconsistent. Well, at least. Unfortunately, his position on this amendment hurts gay and lesbian families. But you don't give a damn, do you, Patrick? You support the bastard anyway. We obviously disagree with Senator McCain. And we don't believe he should have interjected himself into the state issue. Backing California's ban sends the wrong signal to independents who will decide this election, and it creates the impression that he's pandering to social conservative leaders. Impression indeed. Now, McCain held a closed meeting in Ohio about a week or so ago with a bunch of social conservative leaders about the time, oh, can you imagine this, about the same time that his statement appeared on protectmarriage.com. One meeting put the fear in him, and he had to register. Now, Salmon, who has met several times with McCain's staff and once with the senator himself in a secret meeting, declined to discuss the nature of those meetings or whether the senator had indicated what his official stance on the California ballot measure would be. And, of course, Senator McCain's campaign did not return any phone calls regarding the article and his stance on marriage or ballot issues. And he wouldn't answer questions about Florida or the one that's coming up in Arizona. You know, Log Closet Republicans, they get no respect. They get no respect certainly from gay Democrats. And I, like many of other right-minded gay Democrats, find it unbelievable that anyone could possibly be a gay person and vote GOP. And here again, this is the second repeating of the, but about a quarter of gay voters did that in 2000 and in 2004, greatly exaggerated again. I can't possibly wrap my head around that fact. If that's true, it's true. Then I, you know, hell with all of you. The log closets aren't welcome under the GOP party's tent because they're at odds with all the conservatives over marriage and issues. They certainly don't get any respect in our tent. And they've been under a lot of duress because they withheld their endorsement of Bush in 2004. Things got really, really ugly after that. See, 4 years ago, members of Log Closet Republicans told the Washington Blade the people that were talking to the Blade, a small but very influential group of gay Republicans, and they are saying that back then their then president, who they got rid of, who was Patrick Guerrero, had gone too far in criticizing Bush in TV appearances, and the sources spoke anonymously and wanted their identities withheld. And one of the people said that Guerrero aided and abetted the Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry by attacking Bush in the media. Imagine that. One does not dare call a spade in the log closet Republicans. It is a whisper. It is maintain the facade. That's what it's all about. Pompous jackasses. There were emails that flew around that claimed that the executive director of Log Cabin Republicans back in that time, around 2004, worked for the Democratic vice president candidate John Edwards before he joined the Log Closet Republicans. He was a spy. And he said something bad about Bush. Imagine that. And, so the Log Closets filed suit in federal court. this was after they didn't endorse Bush. Okay, then they turned around and filed a suit in federal court against Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld in a bid to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And that only fueled Guerrero's statements against Bush, insiders in the Log Closet Republicans claimed that Guerrero had exceeded his mandate by criticizing the Bush administration. You can't make this stuff up. The Log Closet saying first they opposed the president, and now our organization is suing Donald Rumsfeld. What exactly are they doing that's pro-Republican? It's all true. Oh, my stars. Well, the gay Republican activist, his name is Carl Schmidt. He's one of the original 11. I've got buried in here. This, you know, I could go about on about the log closets all evening. I'll go a couple more, but I have sort of a dossier on each one of them. But they're saying this is Carl Schmidt, who is one of the original 11, said that the president of Log Closet Republicans has been a little too strident in attacking Bush, and it's going to be tough for Patrick, the president, if Bush wins. And Bush, of course, stole the election, despite the controversy, and the Log Cabin Board renewed his contract, but later he left the organization. Could it be that he couldn't take the hypocrisy anymore? So that was then, and now it's 2008, and the GOP is going to nominate the senator who took to the floor to publicly break with the president and oppose the federal marriage amendment. Now, that's what the log closets are saying is the line in the sand. If he endorsed the federal marriage amendment, now that's the line in the sand. You know, he could lop off the heads of gay babies if they're should there be a test, but there's always some sort of imaginary line in the sand, which always moves depending upon their convenience. In any case, McCain did not cross that line. He may on this next three, which have just been introduced, but... He does support state amendments banning gay marriage, and including his home state of Arizona. And The log closets are probably going to repeat their non-endorsement of 2004 regarding McCain this year. I don't see how they could possibly endorse him after his statement about the overthrowing what's going on in California. There's going to be, according to the closets, immense pressure to support a Republican candidate who opposed the FMA, Federal Marriage Amendment, and whose public statements on gay issues are more moderate than Bush's. Didn't I just do a story about Barack Obama supporting what's going on in California and saying that people shouldn't be discriminated against? And it was all very open, no secret meetings. He did it in front of God and everybody. But the log closets are still dithering around statements, and they're looking for someone more moderate than Bush. And they say that McCain, for example, would likely not threaten to veto the entire Defense Department reauthorization bill simply because it contained an amendment expanding the federal hate crimes laws to include orientation, as Bush did. Unbelievable. So the situation is that supporting McCain is going to tick off some of the log closets, and it's going to make others happy. And of course, they're completely in the wilderness if, of course, Obama wins, because they're on the wrong side of history. And speaking of Obama, various polls. Colorado shows Obama holding a 6-point lead, and that's where Bush beat Kerry by 5 points. New Mexico is showing a 9-point lead. And there's even more bad news for McCain. The Quinnipiac polls show that Obama has a solid lead in three key battleground states: Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. So the log cabin is just about to be swept under by this particular tide. Now, Patrick Salmon, according to this information, is a smart and articulate voice of moderation. Actually, he doesn't have sense enough to come in out of the rain supporting these bastards. So, enough about that. And to make it even worse, Pam Spalding reports that the log closet Republicans are about to begin an education campaign. Oh, yes. They're going to educate the LGBT community about McCain. They're saying, we're going to do our part to educate gay and lesbian voters about Senator McCain in the weeks ahead. Education, is it? Could it be more like a brainwash? The Republican organization Log Cabin only endorses GOP candidates, and they are encouraged that the Senator John McCain is a candidate for president. McCain's relationship with the log closets are, in fact, his usury relationship. No action, but we want your money. It goes all the way back to the organization's opening of their first office in the 90s. And the cabin endorsed McCain's election to the Senate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's met with the log closets several times. But as you already know, a Republican will go to any port in a storm. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference who they've shaken hands with, or who they've shed tears of commiseration with. Doesn't matter at all. It's all about them. The log closet just saying, already some people in the LGBT community are dismissing Senator McCain for voting against the federal marriage amendment. And that's disingenuous, because it took enormous political courage for a senator from a red state to buck his own party. And it's important to remember that McCain didn't just vote no. He took to the floor of the U.S. Senate and delivered an impassioned speech against the anti-gay measure. You ready for that? So, to have it the log closet Republicans way, they represent 25% of the LGBT vote. I have another stack of information here about the actual organization itself and who the founding members were, and the ones that are jumping ship, and the ones who it's called the Austin 12, by the way. They are all from Austin. Most of them closet, all men, by the way, except for one woman, all closet gays who came out to somebody in the Republic of Ireland. Here's one. Let me just give you this one. Charles Francis, he's number one. He's 53 years old. He is a Washington public relations executive and is the ringleader of the Austin 12, which turned into the Austin 11 at some point. Founder of the Republican Unity Coalition. Now, here you go. Francis is a longtime friend of the Bush family, and he was the driving force behind the effort in 2000 to change the Republican Party's stance on gay rights. He refused to comment for this story. At an Austin meeting, Bush spoke about his relationship with Francis and said that we're going to disagree on a lot of things, but I still love you. I'll have to do this story when I have it. I've said too many things about the log closet tonight. I don't want to
talk about the log closet anymore. Damn it.
But I will say this. The log closet Republicans are after Pam Spaulding. Oh, my God. They are having a little war with Pam Spaulding. Now, of course, Pam Spaulding, by the way, she's with Pam's Houseblend, wonderful blog. She absolutely hates the log closet Republicans, as I do. But the log closets are tired of being disrespected by Pam Spaulding. And they're saying, you obviously have no clue about the many of our dedicated members and what we're trying to do each and every day to make the GOP a more tolerable place for gay and lesbian Americans. And I'd be more than happy to tell you about it. And maybe you might even thank us for the work we do. And you might not have such disgust in your heart and mind for 25%. And there's the magic number three. The magic number three. It must be true. They own 25% of the LGBT vote. I don't think so, but no. Those people don't always tell the story correctly, do they? So, let's see, it's getting close to the top of the hour. And so what we'll do is we'll take a little top-of-the-hour break and come back with a Riding Across the Desert. And, oh, by the way, the DJ at the gay bar across the street tonight is none other than, hello, Victor. And he'll be starting at 10:30. Looking forward to Victor. Yeah, can't beat Victor from Disco935.net in New York City. Roll it, Bob.
Homosexuality is a psychological problem.
Consider homosexuality sin.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Yeah. Homosexuality is a sin. You understand? We need to stop. You know, we need to stop. We need to stop walking around with the mentality that it's all right. Because it's not all right.
And that it's not good, and not so good to do that.
The only way that someone who's gay could change their orientations would be by going through an extremely miserable experience, you know, led by people who didn't want them to be gay.
Just so that you know, we're two of the original co-founders of Exodus. Exodus International is an organization that believes that all homosexual relationships are sinful, period, and that it is not only desirable but possible to go from gay to straight. The first Exodus conference was held in 1976 at Melodyland in Anaheim.
So needless to say, I mean, when we're getting
a lot of hurting people,
that was the real confirmation that God was raising up this ministry. And we had to go forth, and go forth quick.
My name is Cy Rogers, and I am the current president of Exodus International. I've served on the board for 5 years. And for those who may not be familiar with Exodus, Exodus is a 15-year-old international network of organizations, agencies, therapy groups, and lay ministries, helping people who desire recovery from sexual brokenness, specifically specializing in homosexual recovery. We have approximately 100 offices in 5 continents. We are well established in Europe, North America, and the South Pacific. And we are now establishing new agencies in South America as well as Asia. So literally we're dealing with thousands of people at any given moment, any week, who are in the process of recovery.
In 1979, at the peak of our ministry, after having been instrumental in starting Exodus, we found that something unexpected had happened. We realized that we had fallen in love with each other and that we couldn't any longer keep saying that we were ex-gay. This is the turning point. We got a request to speak to the United Church of Christ General Synod in Indianapolis.
We also decided at that point in time that we were going to need to rewrite our standard speeches that we were given, or that we used to give.
Because we broke down to each other on the plane and admitted that we loved each other and always had loved each other. And
so it was a real heavy plane trip, thank heavens. It was several hours. We got a lot of it out of our system before we got there, or at least we thought we did. And we rewrote the speech to basically point out to the church how they needed to unconditionally love the homosexual.
I remember there was a crowd of gay and lesbian protesters in the back that said, love, not cure, and they had these signs. And they were ready to just, you know, hurl stuff at us. And we started talking about this need for the church to love and to accept and to try to come to some sort of understanding. And the protesters in the back started clapping, and the people that invited us started giving us these real serious scowls, like, when are you going to get to the good stuff, you know? When are you going to get to the change stuff? And we just didn't do it, and we announced that we had decided on the trip over not to present ourselves as ex-gays any longer and not to present these kind of seminars any longer. Now, the irony of this is the first time in all the times we'd ever been asked to speak someplace that the conference presenters had made a little boo-boo and had accidentally put us up in a single room with a king-size bed.
Now, it was at that moment we said, God is leading up a new ministry here.
Praise God! God was raising up a new work in us. So there was a sense of relief there, but there was also a sense of, oh my God, Gary, do you know what this means? We were going to have to tell our wives.
We were going to have to tell our kids.
So the masquerade was over. You had to sort of tell people.
Yeah.
This is what's really going on.
It got to that point where we realized we couldn't continue, you know, going on with the deception or the false feelings, I guess, like Mike said, when we finally broke up.
It wasn't a deliberate deception. It was a self-deception.
Self-deception.
We had ourselves fooled. We weren't trying to fool other people, but we had ourselves fooled.
I'm not afraid to die.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And I'm riding across the desert, a horse named Log Closet Republican, and I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, hit on. That's 877-443-2366. Unlimited long distance. You can use 304-658-3333. An email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. The internet problem seems to be working, seems to be really good tonight. I mean, I can always tell when I'm having a little bit of a bandwidth issue because the way our audio system works here, it's what it does is if it drops out, it speeds up the sound so that it like a section of sound will go really fast, and you can't pick it up in normal conversations when you're talking to people. But when there's music playing, and it's very structured, like the track we just heard, the, you know, beat, 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 suddenly, all of a sudden, it will go beat, 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 beat. It always, like, astonishes me, and I realize the live stream isn't doing it. It's just the connection to, you know, back and forth. It's the, but in any case, tonight, that stayed on beat all the way through. I'm so proud. I am so proud. The internet may be working better than it was earlier today. You know, the Republicans are absolutely desperate, absolutely desperate. I'll begin this by telling you that in the state of Arizona, you remember MTV had the campaign called Rock the Vote to register younger people to vote and get out of the vote. Well, in Arizona, there's the LGBT groups have a campaign going called Out the Vote, and they're signing people up at gay community centers and clubs and restaurants and the whole bit. And the Republicans are not specifically against this particular group, but all across the country, the Republicans are desperate. They are trying desperately to discredit voter registration drives and the record-setting turnout that the Democrats are showing in the 2008 primaries. And they are saying quite loudly that these efforts are benefiting Democrats, and they are rife with voter fraud. I'll give you three examples. The Louisiana Republican Party last month attacked Democrats for phony registration drive because as many as 30% of the applications were missing information, which, by the way, is absolutely normal in any voter registration drive, Republican or Democratic. It's kind of the industry norm, 30%. And they're calling for an investigation. The Louisiana Secretary of State, of course, a Republican, launched that investigation, but his office refuses to comment. And this past Sunday, the Alabama Attorney General, General Troy King, Republican, he appeared on Fox News to complain that voter fraud is symptomatic and it's corrupt and it's rampant in the Democratic majority counties. And he said that absentee ballots were being sold for $40 or traded for driveway gravel. But he didn't say he was going to do any prosecutions, nor did he seem to have any particular case in mind. In Indiana, after that state's presidential primary, the Republicans claimed that the record turnout by the Democratic voters included people from nearby Illinois. And that charge, the local county elections director rejected. It is saying it was just completely unfounded and not true. Nonetheless, the Republican Party is screaming it. And in any case, in fact, on the Republican National Committee, their page, they have a page called You Can't Make This Up. I'm getting this from Truth Out. It just arrived this evening. You Can't Make This Up, it says. And it's a list of voter fraud stories all about Democratic voting and how we are stealing the election. Can you imagine that? And it is a grab bag of anything that could possibly come up with concerning the voter process and elections, and has many allegations that, of course, will never see the light of day in any courtroom. Ah, interesting. Bob is pointing out in production. Way to go, Bob. Troy King, who I just mentioned, Troy King's worst enemy. I love it. Loretta Nall, I believe it's pronounced, N-A-L-L, Nall,
will be on Bob's show tomorrow night as a guest. That'll be cool. And in this desperation that I was just talking about, ever heard of the National Black Republican Association? Well, neither have I. But they seem to have a whole lot of money all of a sudden. They're putting up billboards all over the country. The billboard was put up here. I'm looking at one off of I-45, I-26. Anyway, it's in Orangeburg, South Carolina. It's a huge billboard. The top says National Black Republican Association. There's a picture of Martin Luther King, and it says next to it, Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. www.nbra.info, the National Black Republican Association. Not only are they putting up these billboards across the country, they have a very slick, very professional, full-color, glossy magazine called The Black Republican. It is the magazine of the National Black Republican Association. Oh, no, this is no little association like the ones that I deal with that deal in the state of Florida for things like aging. Oh, no, this is a well-funded, well-heeled, can you imagine where the money's coming from, publication. Here are the articles in the cover of the Florida edition of the Black Republican. The Republican Party, a party of diversity and equality. Governor Charlie Crist, Republican Party of Florida. Republican leaders welcome African Americans back home. Another article, Democrats promote a culture of failure. Achieving the American Dream, seven keys to financial independence for Black Americans. And testimonials on the subject of why I am a Black Republican. And, of course, is the fundraising stuff. That's just amazing magazine. It's just beautiful. I'll tell you about the other covers. Let me introduce you to some of the audio they're putting out. They're running a PSC. Bob, go ahead and run the Black Republicans track one.
The Democratic Party is a racist party. Bill and Hillary Clinton played the race card against Barack Obama. Hillary supporter Paul Begala said the Democratic Party can't win with just eggheads and African Americans. Democrat Governor Ed Rendell said a large block of white Democrats in Pennsylvania would not vote for Obama because he is black. Hillary said her supporters are white Democrats who will not vote for a black man. The Democrats claim all the racist Democrats became Republicans. That's not true. Racist Democrats declared they would vote for a yellow dog before a Republican because the Republican Party was the party for blacks. Bull Connor, Lester Maddox, and George Wallace died Democrats. Former Klansman Robert Byrd is still a Democrat in Congress. Today, racist white Democrats will not vote for Obama, a black man. Learn the truth. Visit our website at www.nbra.info. That's www.nbra.info. Paid for by the National Black Republican Association. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Imagine that. And this website is quite the trip. It's well done. Lots of huge, high-color resolution PDFs of the magazine, in the complete magazine, page for page. Oh, what, 80, 90 pages of each magazine, each of the issues. Now, you know, they make it pretty easy for someone to read the magazine. It's not like they're trying to make any money off of it, or could it be that they're just well-funded and they want to get the word off? I just can't take it. Let me talk about cover number two. Cover number two, the Black Republican. The Pioneer of the Year is a very attractive-looking black woman. She is wearing pearls, and she is Angela McGlowan, and she is entrepreneur and political news analyst. Now, I don't watch television. I've made that everybody knows that. I just used to scream pretty loud that would scare doggy. But I'm just wondering, is this woman part of Fox? It wouldn't surprise me. She looks Fox. She looks all dolled up like a Fox hussy. But, you know, she may be a very wonderful woman. I'm so sorry if that wasn't the case. The other articles, prominent African Americans break from the pack. Democrats wage war on God. Seven keys to financial independence for black Americans. Seems like that was in the last article at magazine, too. Hillary's plantation. Don't you love that? Hillary's plantation. Democrats trap urban blacks in poverty. And the spotlight section is black politicians are switching to the Republican Party across the country. You know, I was just talking about the log closet Republicans, and they're the gay community, stupid people. Okay. Well, the black people who actually believe this crap must be the black community stupid people. Because I never saw anything as bold-faced and contrived in my life. Bob, run the black Republicans track two.
Dr. King said, judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Barack Obama sounds good, but characters judge by action when no one is looking. Obama voted no on the minimum wage bill. Obama said no to school choice scholarships for poor black children trapped in failing schools. Obama voted yes for a bill to kill babies born alive in a botched abortion. Bitter is what Obama called blacks and whites who love God. Racist is what Obama called his white grandmother who raised him and made sacrifices so Obama could get a good education and become a billionaire. Obama's friends are unrepentant terrorists Bill Ayers and Reverend Wright, who said innocent Americans deserve to die on September 11th. Obama is an arrogant elitist who turns his back on poor blacks in his own country. Learn the truth. Visit www.mbra.info. MBRA.info, paid for by the National Black Republican Association, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Well, if a black man says it, it must be true. I mean, it's like if I heard an ad with a guy who was obviously gay and lisping saying that all these things about a Barack, I mean, I would believe it because he's gay, and so it must be true. You know, people are smarter than this, at least most people. But there's a contingent, there's a group of people who will believe every word in this magazine. Looking at the page, help make history. Join our Martin Luther King billboard campaign. Donate today. Billboards across America. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. On the site, there's a huge protest of a cartoon depicting Condoleezza Rice in a rocking chair, holding an aluminum tube. You remember the aluminum tubes. And the little aluminum tube, she's holding a bottle as if she's giving the aluminum tube a bottle. The little aluminum tube has like a little face on it, like it's her baby. And they are just infuriated that this cartoon, and it reads, I knows all about aluminum tubes. Correction, I don't know nothing about aluminum tubes. Funny stuff, huh? The lying bitch. Just like, but oh no. No, see, it has nothing to do with the fact she lied through her teeth regarding the build-up for the war in Iraq, and she knew all about the aluminum tube. No, it's nothing about that. It's that we hate black people, and we're trying to make her a ignorant mammy. That's the words they're using. And we're saying that she's a simple Sambo and an ignorant mammy. Oh, and speaking of Condoleezza Rice, on the third issue, out there, I'm holding a copy of the third issue cover, the Black Republican magazine of the National Black Republican Association. It has a huge picture of Condoleezza Rice with her helmet hair. You know the helmet hair. It's like she can play football and not one strand would move. I mean, how would you... Condoleezza Rice is on the cover. And in huge print, most powerful woman in the world. Yes, I understand she can lock Georgie's neck between her knees and make him scream. The Reverend Wayne Perryman sued, this is another article, Reverend Wayne Perryman sues the Democratic Party for reparations, and Democrats admit their racist past in court, and Democrats, oh, you're going to love this. This is the perfect title for a Wednesday evening. Democrats, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Well, honey, I'm one of their fruits. Get to know me. Bob, let's run PSA number three, please.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. His words are important for this 2008 election. Look beyond Barack Obama's skin color and soaring rhetoric and see an arrogant elitist millionaire whose voting record is the most liberal in Congress. Look at the people around Obama and understand why he lacks the judgment to be our president. Obama's mentor for 20 years was Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who said innocent Americans Americans deserve to die on September 11th. Obama's 20-year friend and bagman Tony Resco was recently convicted of fraud. Obama's friend Bill Ayers was an unrepentant terrorist who bombed the Pentagon and public buildings. Character matters. Obama does not have the judgment or character to be our president. Learn the truth at www.nbra.info. That's nbra.info. Paid for the National Black Republican Association. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Well, enough about that. That's the black boat. That's it's not the swift boat. It's the black boat. It's the black boating of Osama, or Obama. See how easy it is to confuse it when it gets this confusing amongst all the different voices screaming. The Republicans, a party of diversity and equality. How can that text appear on the cover of a magazine called The Black Republican without God just striking him dead? Party of diversity and equality. My God in heaven. So anyway, amongst the charges of voter registration fraud and the reach out to the black Republicans, and the magazine is all glossed up like it's, you know, dress for success, sort of a, this is the word from the black folks who are doing well to the black folks who aren't doing well. Black folks are not stupid. Neither are gay folks, but both communities have some pretty stupid people in them. By the way, a story I didn't tell you, short story. It goes back all the way. Do you remember the when the news was released at San Francisco's City Hall regarding the pronunciation of the California Supreme Court that, yes, in fact, LGBT folks did deserve equality? There was a large group of people, of course, out front. Lots of news people were there too. Technical malfunction. And the photographers were there, and there were maybe 1,000 people there. They were outside City Hall, and amongst them, as there always are, there was a group of a dozen or so anti-gay protesters, and out of those dozen, there were, of course, a few who were very ugly, mean-spirited people. Now, one gentleman, not amongst the protesters, but amongst the supporters, he was dressed head to toe in leather, and he was playing his guitar. He was playing just music to, it wasn't an electric guitar, it was an acoustic guitar. He was just sitting there, actually standing there playing his guitar as part of the celebratory attitude. Well, suddenly he dropped. The article says that he dropped like a tree at my feet. The person who, this article filed by Storm Bear, who Storm Bear is. In any case, before Storm Bear could bend over and check his pulse, the cops swarmed the guy and started CPR. They were very, very professional. Sadly, though, it looks as if he probably died. It's unknown. They tried resuscitating him for 20 minutes, and he did not respond. And they started an IV of 1 liter of saline and gave him O2. And about 10 minutes in, he swallowed and kind of coughed, and the crowd cheered. But it was very quick, and he fell. And within minutes of that, he was ashen and gray. And the writer of this article, Storm Bear, says, at this point I was crying like a child, and I can understand that. And yes, I did take a picture of the guy, and who gave me some sympathy hugs. And the guitar player was just so happy, and he was so joyful, and he just dropped. Apparently, he had had a heart attack standing there playing his guitar, but he was happy when he died. But one of the Christian protesters began chanting at his lifeless body, "Satan got you! Satan got you! What's the devil whispering in your ear about now?" And this was picked up by others. "Satan got you! Satan got you! What's the devil whispering in your ear?" And Storm Bear wonders, why Christians pray for a man to die on the concrete. And in fact, they were asked, why aren't you praying for the guy? He's dying on the concrete. And the protester replied, God killed him for loving fags. And the cops even stepped in and told the right-winger to shut his mouth. The article goes on to say that the writer has absolutely no idea what the ultimate fate of the guitar player was, but he has high hopes that he will sing another day. And just briefly, a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage in Puerto Rico failed. Puerto Rico's House of Representatives denied the measure to toughen the ban on same-sex marriage. It was Resolution 99, and it failed on Thursday to make it to the House floor for voting, and it killed the proposal for at least this legislative term. The measure would have amended the U.S. territory's constitution to establish that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that no other types of unions could be recognized because we scare the hell out of them. And it would have made it very hard, or much harder even, for even civil unions or any other rights. And follow that up with a little news clip out of Jerusalem, our favorite place. Yeah, that's got to be a little hell on earth, you know what I mean? You know, fighting, carrying on. Anyway, the right-wingers in Jerusalem are asking the High Court of Jerusalem to ban gay pride. Now, this is a right-wing group. On Thursday, they asked the Israeli Supreme Court to ban this year's Jerusalem Gay Pride. It's an annual event, and it's drawn violent protests in the city. If you recall, several of the ultra-Orthodox Jews rioted for several weeks and burned garbage cans in the street and carried on there for at least a couple of weeks following. And several of them were arrested with, like, canisters of gasoline. You know, they're going to throw gasoline and fire at the people who are walking. The petition to the court says the event is a provocation, and the municipality filed a brief saying it objected to the parade and we're against this parade. It harms social relations. I'll screw your social relations. In 2005, an ultra-Orthodox Jew stabbed three participants and was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Following year, the venue was switched to a sports stadium. Following violent protests by ultra-Orthodox Jews and right-wing opponents who called the event a profanity of the Holy Spirit, and they rioted for several weeks after that. Last year, about 2,500 GLBT activists marched down King David Street. You gotta love it. Despite the protests by thousands of people, God bless them. They are very, very brave. And the Jerusalem Open House is the group that sponsored it, and they said it was a true test of democracy and civil rights, and though we expect to struggle, we will not let the threats of violence silence us in our challenge for Israeli democracy. So here we have lying Republicans. There they have brutal attacks. What a wonderful world it is. In any case, it's time to head on over to the gay bar across the street, the Paradise Dance Hall. Tonight we have none other than Victor Hallo from Disco935.net in New York City. You can't beat Victor. VJC, Disco935.net. Roll it, Bob.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
Hello, it's VJC for Strictly Confidential Radio's Peter Godball. This is the Black Light Orchestra. Let's try again. Check it out. It's commercial free. 70s, 80s, disco and beyond with yours truly. The one and only, VJC. Enjoy the ride of memories from back in the day.
would try once again. We would try once again. For the love that we share, love holy is ours, should never die. Tickets are due. Ooh, you're ready to leave me as you promised to. I know that I hurt you and betrayed you once more. Forgiveness I ask you as anyone would. Try once again. We could try once again. For the love that we share, love holy is ours, should never die. And come sit by my side. Wipe the tears from your eyes. I've got nothing to hide. If ever a man betrayed whom he loves, he only betrayed her 5 minutes. No more we could try once again. Please try once again.
Inside the Disco Flight with yours truly, BJC. It's live, no jive from New York. and the Change. Remix, check it out. Angel in My Pocket. It's Disco Flight with yours truly, BJ C. Hello. Jimmy Roma, Beyond the Galaxy of Disco Flight in New York. What's up, Peter? Just rocking the house. In stereo. It's non-stop disco at its best. Check it out. Jones, Tom Moulton remix. Sorry, I'm BJC from New York. Hello.
I've got to tell you, nobody does it like Victor. Hello, New York City Disco 935.net. I have to tell you, Victor blew me away. He had a remix in there by Chili. It was from 1979, a remix of For Your Love that I did not recognize at all at the beginning, and it worked its way into an absolutely wonderful remix of For Your Love. Just blew me away. Gotta love Victor. You just never know what he's going to do. Thank you, Victor, for being the DJ at the Paradise Dance Hall across the street. You can find out about Victor at disco935.net. Let's see. I want to remind you that tomorrow evening there is an absolutely wonderful guest. Please don't miss it. Tomorrow evening we're going to have Mr. Henry Stone. Now, Henry Stone is a old-school, long-time legend in the music business. He is going to reflect about the years, the disco years at TK Records. He recorded Casey and the Sunshine Band, Anita Ward, Gwen McCrae, Peter Brown, T-Connection, James Brown, Sam and Dave. There'll also be some new music that he's going to be introducing tomorrow evening. And you think the stories about Grace Jones or something, wait till you hear the stories from Henry Stone. I cannot wait. Glenn has outdone himself when he lined up Henry Stone. Thank you, Glenn, our executive director of music bookings for Strictly Confidential Radio. It's been a joy to be back with you guys this evening. I want to let you know that, in fact, there is a horn section this evening. The live programming is not over. The horn section is a freestyle, we have no idea what we're going to talk about, session of hosts that immediately follows the show. So tonight it'll be John Fox and myself and Bob Kincaid. That will start in just a few minutes at 11 p.m. Eastern. That will be followed by another live show. John Fox, all foxed up from Australia, will be coming on at midnight Eastern time. That's 12 midnight. And so, no, the show is far, far from over. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us. This is Peter, Strictly Confidential, and here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.